And so, brother, this really works out well. I know you're not feeling well, but it's going to work out well from my perspective. So I know the Lord just kind of works things out, Lord, like they need to. So, but in Mark chapter number 9, excuse me, I want to look in verse number 14. We're going to give us a little bit of context this morning. This is going to be our text we're going to preach from again this morning as we work our way through the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 14. And I'll show you what we're going to look at here in after we read the first four or five verses here. And when he came to his disciples, this is Jesus, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, remember Mark uses that word straightway because it's the gospel of action. Boom, 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 boom. Fast moving scenes looking at the life of the servant. Straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him saluted him. And I heard or I read this morning at that where it says great, they were greatly amazed. Why were they greatly amazed? And I never really thought about it. I think it was, one of the men that I can't remember if it was Matthew Henry or J.C. Ryle I read after said this, that just as Moses came down from the mount with his face aglow, Jesus had just been transfigured before the disciples. He might have had a little bit of that heavenly afterglow on him and that's why everybody looked at him was greatly amazed. Don't know that, but I thought that was a pretty good thought. I just want to share that with you. Look at verse 16, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now I want you to look at verse 18. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now I want you to look down here, verse number 20. And they brought him unto him. They brought this young man unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What I want to do this morning, and I don't want to be morbid and begin our thoughts this morning on a sad or a depressing note. But what we have read here in the scripture is this man bringing his son to Jesus, and this young man is a victim of demonic possession. He's a victim of being possessed with a devil. And the Bible refers to him here as a spirit. Devils are unclean spirits. We understand that. So what I want to do this morning, again, I don't want to, like I said, don't want to be morbid. I don't want to sing on a sad note. And if the Lord gives us some time, we're going to allow us to get through this. We may even look back toward Mark chapter 5 and see a little more on this particular thought. But the thing that I want you to, excuse me, I can't get my throat clear this morning. The thing that I want you to see this morning is that there are some classic characteristics, listen to me, characteristics of someone who is possessed of devils. We're going to look this morning at characteristics of demonic possession. Again, it's a I don't want to get to the point that we need to be aware of these things. Now, we don't need to walk, and I say this, we don't need to walk around like the devil's going to jump out from behind a rock and scare everybody. They told me down home in Tennessee, there are these guys, they're dressing up as clowns, jumping out and scaring people. And they told me there was one guy in the old Food City parking lot there on East Broadway, or on West Broadway rather, where two guys and a clown came out and lured a little boy into the woods and took advantage of him. Yeah. Now I know I'm on tape and I know some people don't like this, but that's why you just need to be prepared.
Amen.
Amen. Enough said about that. Amen. I don't know how I got on that, but praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Now, what I want to look at this morning, what are some of the characteristics that somebody is going to show if they are possessed with a devil? How can you tell Someone who is possessed with a devil. Let's look at this particular young man and see this. Now I'm going to show you this, and I'll preach this a little while. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, now I want you to look at the next three words, and these three words ought to cause us to have the caution flags go up and ought to cause us to want to put on the whole armor of God. He said, of a child. Yeah. Listen to me, church. The devil will go after our children.
Yep.
The devil will go after our children. And if, as J.C. Ryle said, if the devil can possess a young child, they also can be possessed by the Spirit of God. Oh yes. So what that means is we need to be in a great prayerful manner for our children, grandparents, for your grandchildren, so that the devil will not attempt to come and take those folks. Now, I don't want you to be confused with The Exorcist or with Rosemary's Baby. Or I don't want you to be confused with some of that Hollywood stuff. And I didn't know this. I was just in my, I don't remember if I was in my in-laws. And there's now a new television program called The Exorcist. See, there is a horrible, I don't even know the word for it, not, there's a fixation where people are dabbling with the occult. And I want to warn you, do not dabble with the occult. Well, preacher, all we do is get together and we play a Ouija board game. Brother, I wouldn't have a Ouija board in my house for all the gold that used to be in Fort Knox. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to warn you young folks, tarot card readings, Ouija boards, palm readers are of the devil. They're of Satan. And do not dabble in those whatsoever. Now, look here with me if you will. And we're going to see where we're going to look at five characteristics here just in this text this morning. Just five characteristics in this text. I don't have them alliterated. I'm just going to give them to you and you can go ahead and see what this young man is like. First thing I want you to see is look at verse 18. Now he says this man, he's verse 17, this man brings him to Jesus, says, my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, I was raised, you didn't say deaf and dumb. The Bible uses the words deaf and dumb, so it's okay to do that. We're not being mean or hateful. The word dumb simply means the inability to speak. So this person had his speech haltered. He could not talk all the time. Now, I'm not saying that that's a characteristic of every single person who has this is possessed with the devil. But in this particular case, it was. Now, by the way, there are some people who may exhibit these, and it may be just old Adam coming out. Some people have pretty bad tempers. I know you don't believe it, but you're looking at one. Oh, not you, preacher. Brother, I can tear up stuff with the best of them, or the worst of them, however you want to say. But God's helped us. God's helped us. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the Lord has been long-suffering and gracious in my life to help me with that. If you were to pick up the phone, Miss Barb, and call my mom, oh, could she tell you stories? Yeah. Yeah, she could. So I'm saying there is a difference between Adam and the demonic possession coming out. But I want you to see this. Look at me in verse 18. And wheresoever he taketh him. So this is a young man who is possessed. The devil is taking this person from one place to the next. Watch this. He teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. The first thing that I want you to see is that we've got a young man whose behavior is characterized as being torn, foaming, gnashing, watch this, and pining away. And pining away. So the first thing I want you to see in this case is that there are mood swings. There are mood swings. Now understand that there are some people that people have been diagnosed with what is called bipolar, and that there are people who take medicine for that. I'm not a physician. I've studied some of that a little bit. I understand that there are things as chemical imbalances, but be aware that not every single time a person is diagnosed as bipolar means it is a situation where there is a chemical imbalance. There are great mood swings that people who are demonically possessed will exhibit. Almost schizophrenic type behavior, where you act one way to this one person, and then all of a sudden somebody else comes on you and you act totally different. So a person who is happy one minute and then they are down in the dumps the next minute, that person could very well be under the influence of a devil. Now, so mood swings are one of those. Mood swings are one of those. Look with me down here if you will. And it says here in verse number 18 that he gnasheth with his teeth. He foameth. He teareth him. Almost sounds as if this person has rabies. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying it's what it sounds like. When the rabies vaccine came out, it destroyed the virus that causes that material that goes into the brain and attacks the brain. And you know as well as I do that that rabid dog has the foam at the mouth. And that rabid dog has that gnashing, that anger there. This person has those mood swings. There's great anger. So not only do they have the mood swings, I want you to get this. They have violent behavior. They have violent behavior. Look in Mark chapter 5 this morning. I mean, you're just a few pages back. And if you want to make a reference, if you're just jotting down notes, I'll read these verses for sake of time. Mark chapter 5. And this person here, we preached on him. It's been over a year ago, so it won't hurt to look at him again. Verse 4, as it says, verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could tame him, no, not with chains. They could not chain this man up, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So what we're going to see is that people who are possessed with the devil oftentimes exhibit a superhuman strength, or even an animal-like behavior. What causes somebody to want to live like a dog? What causes somebody to go off into a graveyard and want to live there? No normal person likes the graveyard. I've met a few people who like Edgar Allan Poe's poetry. You gotta be knocked in the head to like that morbid guy stuff. Putting a man into a room and putting the bricks up while the guy's chained to the wall. There's a heart beating under the floor. Somebody you kill. I mean, what's the deal with that? I mean, that's fruitier than a box of Fruit Loops and nuttier than a Claxton fruitcake. I mean, man alive, that's crazy. But I want you to understand, this person we're dealing with here has those mood swings. Those mood swings were caused by the devil that was inhabiting this person's body. Number two, they had animal-like behavior. They were violent. So there's an animal-like behavior. There's that gnashing, that foaming. And then there's that violence. Because this person, the tearing, the gnashing, would only be satisfied when they came in contact with someone. That may be reading a little bit into it, but what do people do who are possessed with the devil? I want to tell you this. Somebody like Ted Bundy, somebody like a Jeffrey Dahmer, or a John Wayne Gacy, three of the worst notorious serial killers out there, what would cause, and I know we're in a mixed crowd, I know there are younger folks here, but not really young kids, so I can say this, what would cause a man to kill someone, dismember their body, put it into a freezer for later consumption? I want to tell you, that goes beyond normal human depravity.
That's right.
what do cannibals in the South Pacific do? Part of their culture, their religion. And remember, Brother Bob Patnod was here. Culture, what's the root word? Cult. Let's not forget that. Their religion teaches them to do that. Makes you thankful you have the truth. Amen. So number one, mood swings. Number two, animal-like behavior. Number three, violence. Look down here. It says in verse number 18, when it mentions the tearing, the foaming, the gnashing, it also mentions pining away. So we've got the mood swings there. We've got the animal-like behavior there, the violent behavior there. But watch this. It says he pineth away. In Mark chapter 5, in verse number 5, I want to read you this, because there's a great similarity between these two. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, listen, crying and cutting himself with stones. Depression, severe depression, is a mark of being demonically possessed. Now, let me say this at the outset. Just because a person is depressed does not mean they're possessed with the devil. That doesn't mean that. If you've never suffered from depression, thank God. You better thank the Lord. There is such a thing as being down in the dumps, being depressed, and it's more than just being a little blue. If you have a job where you work with people on a regular basis and you do not see progress, I know many folks are in public education. That's where they live. They live in depression. And the reason they do is because they are told you've got to pass everybody, but everybody else has got to, you've got to pass everybody with a good score. Everybody's got to graduate and everybody's got to make academic progress. Well, brother, you can draw straws on one of those, but you can't have all three of them. You can't do that. Some people are just not able. When I taught chemistry, it really bothered me when they told me that all the guys down in vocational, everybody has to take chemistry because they might want to go to college later on down the road. Look, man, if a guy's going to frame a house, if he's going to run wire, if he's going to do plumbing work, tell me why he needs to know chemical structures. Can you tell me why that is? I don't know. And so when you are told things like that, and people are hovering over top of you, got to do this, got to do that, here's what you got to do. And not only top of that, then you see where these kids come from. You see their home life. You find out they don't eat but once a day, if they get that. You find out that they come from a broken home, and you want to reach out and help them, and you can't. Can I tell you, those type of things can bring on depression. Not just that, but listen, oftentimes, God's people can suffer from depression, listen to me, because somebody gets on their shoulders and whispers in their ear and tells them that everything they do doesn't matter. It doesn't help to pass out tracts. Nobody's going to listen. Oh, wait, you dress like that? Everybody's going to make fun of you. Go ahead. Go ahead, young girls, wear those yoga pants because that's what all the girls wear. Because you don't want to wear a skirt because that'll make you look, you know, like you wouldn't fit in. Go ahead and wear those short shorts and those tight jeans. Go ahead and wear that top. It makes it look like you're about, the thing's about to fly out. Your buttons are going to pop off and hit somebody in the face. It's so tight. Now what's happening? Somebody's getting on your shoulder and whispering in your ear. And what's going to happen? Look at me. He's going to say, Elizabeth, Ashley, Lindsay, you're not pretty enough. You don't look like those young women on the magazines do. Why don't you go ahead and sell yourself to where people will like you because your value comes from what you look like? What is that? That's somebody feeding you temptational thoughts to get you to give in to sin, but to conquer your mind and depress you. Let me let you in on a little secret. The women on those magazines don't look like that.
Amen. That's right.
You know what that's called? Photoshop.
Photo. Amen.
I heard a preacher say this one time. He was either reading an article or watching an interview. I think he might have been watching an interview on TV with Cindy Crawford. Some of y'all don't know who she is. My generation knows who Cindy Crawford is. And she said this, what most people don't know is that Cindy Crawford does not look like Cindy Crawford. And what she meant was there was a lot of computer enhancement that went on to sell whatever it is they're wanting to sell. Now, I said all that to say this. The devil can creep up on your shoulder and cause you to get depressive thoughts. Nobody else is living for Jesus. Uh-oh. Here's what's going to happen. Watch this. Watch this.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that right? Whoa.
Artie plays the guitar better than you do. Don't even try. The pastor likes the flat top better than the electric. He doesn't like you.
That's right.
The pastor doesn't like you. For no reason. Your daddy's mad at you because you wrecked your car.
Thanks.
He doesn't love you anymore.
Can I tell you, now we had a good little laugh here, but you know as well as I do, that's exactly what it is, it's reality. The devil can possess the lost world, but he will oppress those of us who are saved. And what he does, he comes up and does that. Don't give in to the devil.
Amen.
Leland Frazier, I got to hear it twice, one of my favorite preachers. He preaches completely different than anybody else. He preached on Pharaoh, where Pharaoh was told by Moses, don't deal deceitfully. And he preached this message on, don't make a deal with the devil. Yeah, what the devil's going to do is he's going to show you what's behind door number one. Yeah. And he wants you to trade your virtue for what's behind door number one. Yeah. He wants you to trade your future for what's behind door number two. Or whatever's in that envelope, let's open up briefcase number four. And let's see what's in that briefcase. It's a bag of peanuts. Yeah. So what are some characteristics of someone who is demonically possessed? We've got that animal-like behavior, the mood swings. We've got the violence. But notice this, the pining away. There is that aspect of depression. If you look at Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, the two shooters at Columbine back in April 1999, the first major school shooting. Before that, 30 years ago, you could put your rifle in the rack of the back of your pickup truck and go bird hunting. Afterward, your principal would come out. He would show you his shotgun.
Right. Sure. Yep. Yeah.
It is not that way anymore. But if you look at those two criminals, listen to me. You may not like it. Who have been in hell for 17 years.
Yeah.
And will never get out. You look at their characteristics, you will see those characteristics thus far in their lives. Nobody who is possessed by the Spirit of God would do those type of things. Let me give you one more up here, and then I'm going to finish up. Our time is gone. Let me just give you this one here. And this is what's sad. And this actually fits in just as well with those two young men who died. If you'll look here, verse 22, and oft times, this is Mark 9, verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Mood swings, animal-like behavior, violence, depression, suicidal tendencies. The devil is the one who's going to tell you to kill yourself. God will never tell you that.
That's right.
Those young men went into the school, killed over a dozen people, and then each took his own life. They each just shot each other, killed one another. Just in Athens, Tennessee, you probably heard it. That's less than an hour and 15 minutes from where I grew up at. Athens, Tennessee, Thomas Betts Company down there. One man, they had a meeting. Man went out to his car, came back in, shot his two supervisors, and shot himself. Why do people do that? Why do people do that? Somebody's on their shoulder telling them it's not worth it. That's the way the devil works. Now let me say this. I know my time's up, but I guess I'm the preacher, so I'll have to, I may have to argue with him. But listen, you may be saved, and the devil will come to you and tell you it's not worth living.
That's right.
Those headaches are really bad. The headaches are really bad. Just go ahead and end it all. Yeah. That surgery's not working for you. Husband doesn't love you. Just go ahead and end it all. It doesn't matter. That's right. That's right. That car wreck is really bad. Your dad doesn't love you. Next time, drive off a cliff. God will never tell you to sin.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will never tell you to take your own life. If you take those thoughts and begin to allow those thoughts and even entertain those thoughts, here's what's happening. Listen to me. You are having dinner with the devil.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Exactly right.
I understand demonic possession is real. Now, if you are a believer, the devil cannot possess you. There are certain Christians who teach that. They are in error.
Right.
The devil cannot possess the body of a child of God.
Amen.
Right.
If the Holy Ghost of God lives in that body, you think he's going to let the devil come in? I read, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
That's right.
Because he's not in me. But he can get on my shoulder and tell me things. He can get on my shoulder and begin to speak. Get on my shoulder and begin to say things and to just drop little clues and little hints that maybe, just maybe, someone thinks this of me and someone thinks that of me. And the way to do it, since I'm not pretty, since I'm not 6'4", since I'm not 225, since I don't have a washboard stomach, well, there's no reason for you to go on with life. I got a reason to go on with life.
Amen.
His name's Jesus.
That's right.
His name's Jesus. So, understand, you see these things out there in the world, you see the violent behavior, you see all that going on in the news. Think very soberly, what you and I are seeing are the outcroppings of demonic possession. And I'll say this, just to leave you with food for thought. Heard a preacher say this one time. He said this. He said, at the Lord's first coming, the devils came out of the woodwork. He was there. They came out of the woodwork. What we see now is the devil coming out of the woodwork. Could it be we are getting closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus? It's exciting to think about nonetheless. I know it's sad to think about all the demonic possession going up, but one of these days you and I are going to go up. Oh yes, amen. Amen.